There being more than three people present and it being after 2:15, we'll call the meeting to order. This is our, we are now looking, oh, there's actually a quorum present. Okay. This is going to be our first of many days discussion, I think, on Parks and Trails legacy funding. We're going to deal with the recommendations from the work group to the DNR. As there is a quorum present now, representative, we have four sets of minutes before us, which I will be assured I can do in one motion. It's Representative Torkelson is giving me a quizzical look. Representative Torkelson moves the four sets of minutes. Three of them are from the joint hearings that we had, and one of them is from the last one.
I'm happy to move those minutes, okay. Madam Chair.
Any questions, any comments? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are adopted. Okay, Parks and Trails Legacy Funding Project. There was a work group that was set up. The report of the work group is in your folder, and we'll start with the presentation of the recommendations from the work group. So who is? Okay, Erica Rivers.
Good afternoon, okay. Madam Chair, members, representatives of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to come forward to you this afternoon.
Say who you are.
Erica Rivers, Assistant Commissioner with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you again for the opportunity to come over today and present for you what I think is really some of the best news we have right now going on in natural resource management here in the state of Minnesota. We're here today to share a story with you about a year-long effort that has resulted in a consensus and collaboration, and perhaps most significantly, collegiality. Collegiality and collaboration that is, in my mind at least, the very heart and spirit of the 25-year Parks and Trails Legacy Plan in the front of mind for voters back in 2008 when they passed the amendment. What we're presenting today is an example of better government in my mind, a true consensus recommendation. In short, I and my colleagues believe that there's nothing short of reason to be hopeful about a path forward for Parks and Trails legacy funding. As directed by the 2011 state legislature, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources convened a work group to develop these consensus recommendations to be delivered to the governor by November 15th of 2011. Rather than a sole sponsorship model, we took a consensus-based effort with this work group and decided to elicit an joint executive sponsorship of the group with the partnering agencies. As such, Commissioner Landwehr reached out to Susan Haig of the Met Council to select three members to participate in the committee, Marshall Larson from the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coalition to select another three members for the committee, and then Tom himself, DNR Commissioner, selected another three for the committee. The three executive sponsors outlined the expectations for consensus recommendations in a memorandum of understanding that included interaction with and direct liaisons with the Legacy Advisory Committee. In order to ensure a fair, independent deliberation of how to allocate up to $40 million annually, we sought the assistance of a third-party independent facilitator to facilitate the project. That was the Environmental Initiative. Before I turn this over to the Environmental Initiative to give you a highlight of those recommendations, I'd like to underscore that while the challenge that the state legislator put before this work group was difficult, ultimately it was both positive and successful, and I think we'll have testimony to that effect by several members today. At this time, I'd like to introduce Mike Harley, Executive Director from the Environmental Initiative, who, along with Emily Franklin, the project manager on this project, will go through the work group's recommendations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Mike Harley. I'm Executive Director of Environmental Initiative, and I'm joined by Emily Franklin, who's one of our senior project staff. And we're going to go through a presentation that we've done multiple times before, so I apologize if you've seen it in some other venue. But we'll go over the process that we brought the stakeholders together around, and then the recommendation that came out of their conversations. So we can advance past that. So who we are, just so you have that as contact, Environmental Initiative is an environmental organization. We're 20 years old. Our mission is to bring together partners to tackle environmental problems collaboratively and in partnership. We do that in many ways. You may be familiar with the policy forums that we hold, the events that we do. We bring parties together in dialogue to solve problems. And then we also do on-the-ground action work. You may know Project Green Fleet was a diesel emission reduction project. The topic of our conversation today is dialogue. In this work, you might think of it as stakeholder process. We bring together parties as an independent, neutral, third-party convener and facilitator. And as you can see on the slide, there are some characteristics of how we bring parties together in that work. We strive for equal power. One of the important things we do is make sure that there are a diversity of voices at the table, that they all are heard, and they all have an equal access into the conversation. And then you'll also note that openness and transparency is an important part of our process as well. We always post information from our meetings, announcing upcoming meetings, notes from the meetings, and so forth on our website. Emily will share that link with you if you want to check it out. It's still live. It's still on our webpage, and you can go back and do some further research on the process. Those are characteristics of all of our processes. We'll proceed. Erica Rivers mentioned the legislative charge that the 2011 legislature gave to DNR, and that's just the language, so you can see it there. We'll move along. The process that we put together when DNR approached us was based on a work group, and I'll show you who that work group was in a moment, and then again recap how that work group was put together. And that was a 9-member group. And then we also had a core team, and I'll show you the members of the core team as well. That group is purely advisory. It's important to note that in all of our dialogue work, Environmental Initiative doesn't take positions. We don't adopt the recommendations ourselves. The recommendations really belong to the stakeholders. So the work group list that I'm going to show you are the individuals who reached consensus. Those are the individuals who own that recommendation. And the core team is purely advisory, a resource for Environmental Initiative as we put together agendas, as we shape the conversation. This is the work group membership. As Erica mentioned, the way that this group was constituted, the three major systems that are involved, Department of Natural Resources and the Metropolitan Council and the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coalition, each appointed 3 members to this group. And so that was our effort to achieve balance in the group, to make sure that all 3 systems were equally represented in that conversation. You'll also note, if you can read those names, that these are all highly experienced parks and trails leaders from the metropolitan area and from around the state, and that's really how we put the group together. Also note that these individuals were brought in explicitly to keep that conversation open to their constituencies outside. So they're sitting at our table, but they're also reporting back and connecting to their constituencies outside of that conversation. Next slide. This is the core team that I mentioned, purely advisory, but very helpful folks. Again, 1 from each of the 3 systems. They were not members at the table in that sense. We'll advance from there. So this is the work group charge. This looks just like the legislation. In fact, some of the same language, but I want to just note a few things about it. This was the first thing that the work group did when they came together. They agreed together on this charge. They reflected the directive of the legislation, which was to identify a funding allocation for fiscal year 2014 and 2015. But they wanted to go 1 step further. They wanted to lay a recommendation that would help guide decisions into the future, maybe as much as 10 years. And so that was their aim, and you can see that in that charge. You can also see that they were specifically asked to provide a rationale for that allocation, so you'll hear about that today. And there was some openness around what form that recommendation could take, whether it would be a formula or whether it would be a process or some other combination. One thing worth noting is that the work group was not to make specific recommendations for specific projects. This was not meant to be a project-focused conversation. And also the work group was not meant to look at other sources of parks and trails funding. So they're focused just on the legacy fund. Advance. And the last thing I'll say before I turn this over to Emily to talk to you about the recommendation itself is that this was a consensus process. Despite the fact we worked hard to achieve balance and bring all voices to the table, this was never a voting conversation. This was meant for all 9 members to reach a point that they could live with. And that's really the definition that we use. You can see it on the screen. Not that anybody is particularly thrilled with the outcome, not that anybody felt that they won and got everything they needed, but that they could all live with the outcome. And that's how we think about consensus.
I'd like to run this a little bit more as a conversation. So Representative Murphy has a question or a comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, could you tell us when the work group met and how often and for how long?
Yep, the work group meetings, there were 6 meetings between April and October of this past year. And these were half-day meetings primarily.
Where?
Around the state and around the city. So in the metropolitan area and in Greater Minnesota both. Emily could probably tell you some of the specific locations.
We met in various locations at DNR State Park, at Fort Snelling one time, and then we tried to sort of hop around to various metro regional parks and greater Minnesota parks as we moved through the conversation. So,
six meetings, half a day across the state. In how many different locations?
We were in, I believe, six different locations.
So each meeting had a different place.
Yep. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, we can get you that specific information if you're interested. We can follow up with specific meeting locations if you'd like.
Okay, that's not in this report, or is it? Because we all have copies of this report.
It's not in the report, but it is available on our website. Sure. If you click on the meeting information link on our website, you can see all of the different locations where the meetings were held.
Okay. Representative Birtle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The testifiers, how many members of the working group are here today?
That's a show of hands. Yeah, so what is that, total of six? Six members of the committee, Madam Chair, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I appreciate the work that went into this and your emphasis on consensus. I, through conversations, was given, I don't know if impression is the right word, but some folks feeling that the working group was naturally kind of stacked 6-3 against the Metropolitan Parks area. But you say there weren't votes. This was a consensus of the entire group.
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Dahl. This was not a voting process, and so exact balance is probably not the thing to focus on. Instead, the way that we approached this was to allow each of the three systems to appoint three members.
Okay. Why was it decided to ignore other sources of funding?
That's probably a decision for a question for DNR, Madam Chair. I don't know if that's because that was a decision that was made prior to engaging environmental initiative.
Is it?
What I'm hearing from Erica Rivers, Madam Chair, is that that was directed in the legislation, in that 2011
legislation.
Can we
see that language? Is that
Erica?
What?
Okay, we'll go back to the language. If we can go back. The challenges of technology.
Yeah.
If somebody knows how to do this, it would help.
We never go back
well,
here.
Forward
we can
only.
Just continue and leave that as a question.
Okay, all right. We'll come back to that question.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And if that's it for now, what we'll do is move on and talk about the recommendation, and you can continue to interrupt.
Okay.
The question. Thank you, Madam Chair.
None of this is
working. Oh, it's all frozen. There we go.
So. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, my name is Emily Franklin. I was the project manager that worked in partnership with DNR on this effort. And what I'm going to do before I dive into the detail of the recommendation is just talk a little bit about some of the principles that we used to guide the conversation, as well as some of the challenges that the group faced as we moved through the process. So one of the first things that we did when we convened the work group was do some brainstorming with them about what was going to help guide the decision making and what was important to consider in terms of making the decision about the funding allocation. And this list of four things that you see in front of you were the most important. The first one being keeping all of the work that had been done in the Parks and Trails Legacy Plan in the forefront of the conversation, using that to help guide decision making. Secondly, acknowledging both present and future needs for Minnesota's parks and trails, allowing for flexibility. Third, ensuring the recommendation is easy to understand and explain. So we'll see how I do as I go through this afternoon. And finally, and this is probably the most important and it leads into some of the challenges I'm going to get into, the work group members felt strongly that the recommendation should be based on information that we know and have today that is consistent, objective, and independent. And as you'll see as I walk through this next slide, dealing with some of the challenges we faced, this this became an issue as we moved through the conversation. So one of the things that the group agreed on early on as well was that developing a formulaic or data-driven approach to dividing the money using objective information was the goal. So they wanted it to be fair and, again, based on information that we know. So, again, what we did was have work group members brainstorm a list of data sets or pieces of criteria to include. And what I mean by that is things like population, visitation, sales tax generation, park acres, trail miles, all the things that are involved in sort of managing a parks and trail system, using those pieces of data to put together a formula to divide the money. So what we did from there was explore a series of models. There were six or seven different combinations of formulas and strategies to divide the money that we had the work group talk through, and you can see in this photo that's one of them, one of the big formulas that we had up on the wall that we had them sort of evaluate and make comments on as we walked through the process. One of the things that we realized as we were going through this is that current consistent and comparable data from each of the systems was not readily available. And as many of you know, as being involved in these conversations, the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails as a system is in the earlier stages of development. So a lot of the system-wide data, be it visitation or operating expenditures, is not yet available. So given that challenge, the work group still was charged with developing a recommendation for dividing the money and came up with an interim strategy that I'll walk you through piece by piece.
If I can just ask one question.
Sure.
When we're talking about data that was available, did you use this report from the university on Minnesota's network of parks and trails?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, that was one of the reports that was consulted, as well as many others. And ultimately, as we were facilitating the conversation, the fact that we didn't have actual information from the Greater Minnesota system collected and gathered from those parties was a stumbling block. So there is information that was in that study, but ultimately the work group did not find that to be sufficient and wanted to, as you'll see as I walk through the interim strategy, set aside some resources so that the data could be gathered for the future.
Okay. One of the things that puzzles me, and maybe people who are speaking can, my life before I was a legislator was based on assembling data and analyzing it and making conclusions. And one of the things that we usually do in those circumstances, we kind of do it first. And what puzzles me is this idea that you set out a system and you fund a chunk of money each year to study it as you're moving along. What seemed to make a little more sense would be to fund the analysis, more intensive analysis up front before you've made this kind of semi-permanent decision. Did anyone raise that point as you were coming to these decisions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, the work group was focused on the charge that was given to it, and the primary charge in legislation and in the charge that they adopted was to come up with an allocation for 2014 and 2015. And so that's where they wanted to be sure to come out of this process with that consensus. And I think that the approach that was taken was to do something on an interim basis, to build those informational resources over time so that we could make decisions that are even more rooted in that real data in the future. But the work group was very focused on achieving its primary charge for 2014-2015.
If there are not any other questions, I can continue walking through. The first piece of the recommendation, which we talked a lot about in the early meetings, was setting aside some money off the top of the total pot to help support coordination efforts between the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails, DNR Parks and Trails, and Metro Regional Parks and Trails. We reached agreement on this relatively early in the process to set aside a small amount of money to support those coordination efforts, and specific activities may include joint promotion, marketing, developing that statewide clearinghouse for parks and trails, many of the activities that these dollars would support are prescribed in the Parks and Trails Legacy Plan. So in addition to setting aside those dollars, the work group felt it was also appropriate for the Parks and Trails Legacy Advisory Committee to have some role in terms of helping to make recommendations on how those coordination dollars would be spent. So that's the first piece of it. Tied to that is some of what we've talked a little bit about already, setting aside half of that coordination pot to support data gathering for the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trail Systems, that they would have some resources to gather visitation data, operating expenditure data, to help inform a future decision. The third piece of this really is the bulk of the funding. And again, I don't think this is necessarily where the work group thought we would end up when we started the process, given their aspirations for a data-driven approach. But they still were charged with developing a consensus recommendation. So I'll walk through their rationale and decision-making with you right now. So the work group was able to reach agreement on the idea that parks and trails really serve two important functions in the state. They serve as near-home recreation opportunities as well as destination opportunities or tourism functions, if you want to think about it that way. And really, given the fact that most recreation activity happens within that 30-minute drive from home, the work group members felt it was appropriate to allocate 80% of the funding to that near-home recreation function. And I'm going to talk through the near-home function first, and then I'll move into the destination function. The work group agreed to allocate the near-home dollars 50-50 between the metro parks and the rest of Minnesota. And the rationale for this is really based on population, both current population and projected population information that we were able to gather from the census and from the Minnesota Demographic Center. So that portion of the money is split in half. In the seven-county metro area, the work group agreed that really for the near home destination function, there's one primary provider, and that's our metro regional parks. So the metro regional parks were given the full share of near home recreation dollars for the metro area. Now in Greater Minnesota, we have a different scenario because most of our state parks are in Greater Minnesota. There are really two providers of parks and trails opportunities in Greater Minnesota serving that near home function. So the money was split in half, half to Greater Minnesota and half to DNR. And then finally, you have the destination or the tourism function, and the work group agreed that really the Department of Natural Resources through our state parks and state trails, are providing that destination function or that tourism function. Okay. So that's how we arrive at the 40% for metro regional parks, 40% for DNR, and 20% for
Okay. Representative Bouguinis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How did you make the decision that the seven-county metro area was not a destination?
I may actually defer to one of our work group members to help answer that question. Madam Chair, if that's okay.
Sure. Which one?
Don't take it back. Madam Chair, my name is Greg Mack. I'm Director of Parks and Recreation for Ramsey County, and I was one of the three representatives for the metropolitan region. Representative Wagenius, because this is a model and giving a framework for the allocation as opposed to a strict formula, there's two sets of to look on this. That yes, we do serve. There's at least in Minnesota, in our regional parks, we are serving as a destination for some folks. I mean, you know with Como Park, and you know with the Chain of Lakes and the Lopet this last weekend, and so we recognize that. But on the other side, there's also are some state parks in the metro region. So there is a balance because that's not acknowledged in this formula as well. So it's a guidance document, but not meant to be a strict calculation. That's as near as I can say. We do acknowledge there are out-of-state residents that or people that come to visit our regional parks, just as people come from different states to visit state parks.
Well, just to follow up, you may feel that this is flexible, but for some now it has become a rigid formula, and we cannot deviate from the rigid formula. So, but you agree that the seven county metro area itself, not the state parks in the seven county metro area, but many of our parks are destination parks. You do agree to that?
Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius, I think Arnie Steprud will be here later, and he can address, he actually has the percentages in the metro regional system that actually serve outside of the region and people from outside of the state that visit those. There are, we do have numbers that relate to that, and I'm sure Arnie could share that specifically with you. Yes, but I do agree. They are served, they do serve more than just the region.
Okay. And I'll just point out again, and maybe if there are other members of the working group who could help me with this, or maybe members of DNR who can help me with it, is that, again, looking at Appendix B, the working group charge, I cannot find any language that says that you're supposed to ignore existing. You're only supposed to look at the... It is for a division of the legacy fund, but there's nothing that says that it's supposed to ignore other things that exist in the state. So I just... Maybe it's just my inability to read it correctly, but I would, you know, I would still leave that question out there for someone to tell me, for someone to tell me that. Okay, there's some other people. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I just had some questions on what's been done historically as far as a breakdown, and if my understanding is correct, then the first year the breakdown was for the metro parks. It was 50%. For the state parks, it was 43%, and then for the rural regional parks, it was 7%. And then I'm missing some numbers in between, but then last year's appropriations for that same order was 42%, 38%, and then 20%. So I'm just noticing a trend where the metro is losing the percentage of funding, and I'm just wondering if you could give some background and explanation of why that's been happening.
Again, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. I will defer to either somebody from the Metropolitan Council or DNR to help.
Well, we are going to have Mr. Stafford from Metro Council, so maybe he'll be keeping track of these questions, and will get to us
thank
in
you.
Terms of the interests of finishing this, which I admit I started. So. Representative Lilly, also.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we go forward, too, I'd be interested to hear, like, usage numbers, if that was factored into to anything. You know, just recently we had a event within the half mile here that had a, you know, that wasn't even in a park. It was just on a side of a hill, going over a road, down a hill, and it had 170,000 people.
Did you do that?
I wanted to, which is probably good I didn't, but... But I happened to talk to a former chair of this committee, and he has a Litchfield, I think, has a city park, and I think every Friday they get 100 people in their city park. But, you know, I just, in fairness, you know, we just need to look at numbers, too, and usage. And, I mean, that's not even a park. And I often wonder, too, we talk about Metropolitan as a big block. Do you talk about, you know, maybe Apple Valley might have a city park or any other that is of regional interest, and there's amazing use. You know, I happen to represent Oakdale, and there's an Oakdale park that I'm certain people come from a long way to experience, you know, for a certain niche. But anyways, there's. I hope you're looking at numbers, not just of use. I think those are quite revealing, you know, the impact and where our dollars can go and the value we can get. And, you know, because at some point we're going to buy so much, right, and we can only maintain so much. And so what is the best bang for the buck? I mean, we can build trails, and then, but are they going to be used and maintained? And a lot of these thoughts aren't original. Some of them are former Chair Wagenius' thoughts and others that we all put together, but please try to cover some of the usage numbers as you go forward, too.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. That was one of the pieces of information that our work group talked a lot about. It was visitation and how to include that in an allocation formula. And I'll get into a little bit later in the presentation some of the pieces of information that they were able to agree should absolutely be considered and that we should have data for across all three systems in order to help make a decision in the future using that data. So I hope that that will help answer some of those questions for you.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to respond to the question that you had asked about the focus on the Parks and Trails Fund. And so I have the legislative language in front of me on paper, which is easier than going back on the slides. And I'll just read to you what it says. The Commissioner of Natural Resources shall convene and facilitate a working group of 9 members to develop consensus recommendations for the allocation of parks and trails of the Parks and Trails Fund. And so it doesn't explicitly prohibit other conversation, yes, but it clearly focuses on the Parks and Trails Fund.
I think the point I'm making is I think that focus needed to also include what else exists. The way you presented it, I thought it was a specific indicator.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Clearly what's happening, but right, it doesn't say ignore other information.
Right, this legislation doesn't say ignore other yes, funds. It was okay, a discussion maybe that the work group members can shed some light on as they testify, because this was really part of how they chose to proceed with the conversation. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I just have a couple more slides to get through, and then I'll stop talking. The last few pieces of the recommendation deal with a couple of things. One is to increase flexibility of funding to Greater Minnesota, and then I'll talk a little bit about, again, some of the next steps and pieces of information that we feel is important to gather for the future. So the work group felt that it was appropriate that Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails, through the existing grant program, that those grants be broadened to include more than just acquisition, development, and capital asset management, that they be given the same flexibility that our metro parks and our DNR parks have to be able to apply to use legacy dollars for programming, for education, for marketing, and for master planning. And then again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, even though we weren't able to reach consensus on a data-driven formula this time around, the work group was able to agree on these pieces of information being critical to gather for all of our parks and trails systems to be able to make a decision in the future. So we should be able to look at population both now and into the future. Parks and trails should be where people live. Looking at park acres and trail miles, operating expenditures, and then again that last piece, visitation. Are these parks and trails going to be utilized, and are they being utilized? So there was agreement on these pieces of information being critical for future decision making, although we don't have all of the data available now for all of our systems. Again, as I mentioned, the work group did describe some ongoing role for the Parks and Trails Legacy Advisory Committee to help assist with some of the data gathering and capacity building for the Greater Minnesota system, as well as helping to make recommendations on how those coordination dollars might be spent. So there's a little bit of information about their ongoing role. And then finally, before I wrap up and turn it over to work group members, who I'm sure you're anxious to talk to, I just wanted to walk through the outcomes of the process from the work group members' perspective. So again, we were able to reach consensus developing this interim strategy using the information that we had available, the best information that we had available, recognizing that there is some additional data that needs to be gathered and setting aside some resources to be able to do that. Again, the recommendation does provide resources for ongoing collaboration, which is one of the 4 pillars of the Parks and Trails Legacy Plan, setting aside resources again for all of our Parks and Trails providers to work together to provide high quality service. And recognizing again that need for additional flexibility for our Greater Minnesota system, as well as the data gathering that needs to happen there. And finally, the recommendation does support an established vision as articulated in the Parks and Trails Legacy Plan, that we really are wanting to create a world-class Minnesota system of parks and trails that everybody can enjoy as citizens of the state. So with that, below is the webpage for where all of the information about all of the meetings, the meeting notes, the different swings we took at putting together an allocation formula, all of that information is there and available to you at any time. I just want to thank all of you for the time and the chance for us to share the outcomes of our process and the work that the work group members did. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Two more questions. One, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you again for the effort that's put into this. As chair the last couple years of this committee, this was one of our great challenges, let's say, to try to find an amicable way to forge consensus with these percentages. And I don't know that we ever actually will get complete consensus, as I'm guessing you're going to find out shortly. I'd fall asleep nights dreaming park percentages. One thing that I do want to correct a little bit.
When we do find consensus, you can write a book about it.
Could be a title. Maybe it'll be the book I write about this place. Consensus. It'll be fiction. But the point I was going to make, Representative Wills had some percentages there, and that 50-37, I don't know where you came up with that, but that didn't seem right, and I did make some inquiries. And I believe that when we started this with Representative Murphy, the first park appropriation was 43-43-14. And then this last time, 42 with Metro Parks being the first number, 42-38-20. So it's not quite the decline that you might think. And in fact, in total monies, I think it's probably more, even though the percentage changed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the clarification, and I'm still learning, so I'm digging up information and trying to find out where it fits and everything. The numbers I had was for Metro was 50%, the state parks was 43%, not 30%, but it sounds like I may have been off anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I appreciate you double-checking on the numbers.
Sure. We're here to help. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to go back to the constitutional language that we were supposed to be operating under. And it says that support parks and trails of regional or statewide significance. And nowhere in here did I see any definition of significance. So it seems that you were thinking that anything that was outside of the metro and not a state park was significant if it was 30 miles from somebody's home. I mean, that seemed to be the guideline. So it was sort of backing into a definition of significance. You have to have a regional park within 30 miles of someone's home. Am I getting that right?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Wagenius. It's a good question, and I will ask some of our friends at DNR to help jump in and answer this if I'm mischaracterizing it. The Greater Minnesota dollars all flow through the Department of Natural Resources grant program, and there are specific parameters within those grant guidelines about what projects qualify and what projects don't. And so again, for the purpose of our conversation, we were operating at a little bit of a higher level, recognizing that once the funding is allocated, it will go into that grant program. And the definition of state or regional significance is sort of applied through that program, if that makes sense.
Okay.
May I follow up, please?
Yes, please.
Representatives, Madam Chair. The definition, Erica, sorry again, Erica Rivers, Assistant Commissioner with Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The definition that we typically use as a work group as well as within the department and generally across the Parks and Trails collaborating partners at this point is the definition of regional and statewide significance that's found in the 25-year legacy plan. And I apologize if some of you don't have this plan. We can certainly get it to you. This plan was also a collaboration done over many, many months after the legacy bill passed. And on pages 54 through 57, we have definitions which were of statewide and regional significance that were defined by a work group of people across the state between 2008 and 2010. So that was the definition we would use for regional and statewide significance. And if I may just finish one other thing, we also have Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails study that's ongoing right now. It's about to be completed for Greater Minnesota, and I believe that we have Jeff Schoenbauer here today to actually speak to that report as well, and they have actually taken the regional and statewide significance criteria outlined in this report and elaborated on that, what that means for what is considered significant regionally and statewide.
Madam Chair, here's the confusion. You have a definition of significance that you use to make grants, but this report is based on an implicit definition of significance that you've got to have a park 30 miles from everybody's home. So we've allocated the funds under one system, and you are allocating them another. This is not making sense to me. But let me just ask you another way then. If we had a park, a new park, or a park 30 miles outside, not the metro and not DNR, if we had a park that was 30 miles from everybody's home, how many parks would we have in this regional park system?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I was just looking to Jeff Schoenbauer, who is scheduled to present later today, to give you an update on what they know about the regional park system. I'm not aware of what those numbers would be at this time.
Okay. Right. Well, we will get to that.
Let me just set out the question, then,
sure.
If I could. If we don't know how many parks we're dealing with, well, we have to know how many parks we're dealing with because we have to figure out what this total new system that you are envisioning to be a world-class system, how many parks we're going to have, because we have to figure out, will we ever have enough money to do what you are envisioning under this plan? And it's all about finances. And can we afford this vision of this world-class parks, having a park 30 miles from every person's home? And I can't wrap my head around the math because I think it's too big. And so we have to have some hard numbers here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Wagenius, I'm going to try to see if this can help clarify. I don't know that in the recommendation that the work group was necessarily saying that there should be a park within a 30-minute drive from home, but that was sort of an estimate based on near home recreation, and it was a way to sort of think about a framework of a way to divide the funds between that sort of tourism function and that near home function.
Representative,
implicit in your funding recommendation, but why you even set up this little chart was that you had to have near home recreation at 30 miles. And I'm just trying to figure out, what does that mean for the new system that would have to be developed that this funding mechanism is intended to support? And I think we need those numbers, that's all.
If I may, Representative Wagenius, Madam Chair. I just want to clarify that in all three reports that we're talking about here, we're talking about a common definition for regional and statewide significance. And those parks are roughly 120 parks in greater Minnesota, 76 state parks and recreation areas, and about 50, although Greg Mack can or Arnie Steffrud can clarify if that's incorrect, about 50 metro parks. So those would be the parks and trails of regional significance that we're talking about here. With respect to the funding allocation formula, just to reiterate what Emily Franklin mentioned earlier, this wasn't the best solution. This was a good solution for the time and data we have now. We were asked to look at how to allocate funding in a biennium. When we went to find a formulaic solution to this, one that was based on hard data, based on trail miles, we discovered that DNR measures trail miles one way, Metro Parks measures them another. Visitation is measured differently between Metro Parks, regional parks, and state parks. So as hard as we tried over those six meetings, over 6 months, to find a formulaic solution that we could bring to you today, we couldn't do it. We didn't have the data we needed to do that. So we stepped back at that point and said, let's not let perfect get in the way of progress here. We had a very contentious previous biennium struggle in this committee, as Representative has mentioned. And what we sought then was to step back and look at it from a different angle. Instead of approaching it from a formulaic approach, which we would have all preferred, we said, what did the legacy plan say was important? The legacy plan itself said the two things that were important is that we got people outdoors by providing near-home recreation, and that we also supported a vigorous, vibrant tourism economy based on natural resources, and which our parks and trails are our heart and soul. And so we said, which is more important? Well, in our estimation and based on the funding allocations we've had in the past, connecting people to the outdoors is of primary importance to the state of Minnesota. And so we decided to put, as a framework, as a philosophy, more money toward regional or parks that were near home versus the destination type parks. And that's really how the concept flowed.
But I want to make one last one, Representative Venus, then I want to make a comment on the numbers.
Thank you. If you were saying that we had 120 new, I mean, I love parks as much as anybody in
the DR. I know you do, Representative.
And I love trails even more, yes, probably. But if you're planning on 120 new regional parks, then I think it's incumbent upon you all to let us know how much it would cost to purchase those parks, maintain them, mm-hmm, and then operate them. Because one of the things I put in members' packets was the shortfall in DNR. You know, we've only done half the trails that we have allocated. We're way behind on maintenance. So what we're planning is 120 new and a huge backlog in DNR where we don't have maintenance. We have exactly half the trails. Is it the suggestion that the legislature repeal some of those trails that we have put on? Because right now we won't have them done. What I don't know what it says right now. I think until if you look at your sheet, it's 2044 is when we would get the trail system at the rate we are going now, but actually we haven't kept up since Mr. Reinholtz made this. Mm-hmm. It's definitely beyond 2044. Mm-hmm. So the math isn't working. So I think it is important that before you all come back, we know how much this new plan is going to cost, mm-hmm, and how it fits in with the huge shortfalls in our state parks and trails.
So, and I guess I want to put this out on the table too. Again, some more numbers that we're looking at. We're talking about 128 regional rural parks. There are 72 DNR state parks in greater Minnesota. So we're looking at having 200 state-funded legacy parks in greater Minnesota and 54 in the metropolitan area. So we have one legacy-funded park in the metro area for every 50,000 people and one legacy park for every 12,000 people in greater Minnesota. Does that totally make sense? I mean, the numbers just seem so totally out of whack. And that's why I was kind of surprised that the decision was made to just look at the money into the Parks and Trails Legacy Fund without looking at, when we're talking about the whole experience, without looking at what existed previously. And the point that Representative Wagenius, which that's in everyone's folder, the idea of the deferred maintenance on DNR trails, and should legacy funding maybe, you know, I think since we haven't put the money into it, we can't talk about supplanting. Should maybe some of the things we're doing, should be looking at is looking at the more effort into these existing trails. But apparently that was never considered because of the decision not to look at anything that was existing.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, those 120-some regional parks are actually existing state parks. We're not proposing new parks there. Regional parks.
Well, they're being called, they were never called regional parks. They're now suddenly
they're regional parks of significance based on the criteria in the legacy plan. And again, okay, I want to defer some of this conversation to somebody who is much more experienced in the regional park system. I'm familiar with the state park and trail system, and that would be Jeff Schoenbrower, who's on the agenda to speak to those questions.
We better keep going if we're going to get to these questions.
I think you'll want to hear from him. Yes. Okay. So I think we can turn it over now to Greg Mack.
We have Murphy, Hausman, and Lilly are on my list. Do you want to keep listening and then come on, or do you want to make your comments now?
Your mind is to this also.
Okay, Murphy.
I just wanted a clarification on, you talked about three studies and this new one that Mr. Schoenbauer is going to talk about. What's the name of that one? And whose study is that?
Madam Chair, Representative, some of you may have heard of this as affectionately called the 175 study, but I think the official name is Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Strategic Plan. 175, when you've heard that reference, related to an appropriation that the legislature made to assist in developing the plan. So that's the one that Jeff Schoenbauer would be addressing.
And, Madam Chair, was that 175, was that out of legacy funds?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, they were.
Okay, and then the plan, the 2011 one that established the plan that this commission or this work group is following, that was also out of legacy funding?
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe it was. Madam Chair, there were two plans that were funded in addition to the what's referred to as the 175 study. There was the work of the work group to support the work group, which would have been for this last year. So that just happened this summer. Prior to that, there was the Parks and Trails Legacy Plan, which you authorized and directed agencies to prepare, that reflected a 25-year vision for this plan. And that's the one that involved a number of hearings around the state, engaged thousands of Minnesotans in what they saw as the future of their regional park and trail plans.
Okay. And that came from the first year?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, that would have been in the first year appropriation.
And the university did that?
Madam Chair, Representative, that the university did a second study, which really focused on more of an inventory of parks and others. The Parks and Trails plan is more of a strategic plan that looks at how do we develop a seamless system. And out of that plan grew another committee that was referenced in Emily's comments. There is a Legacy Parks and Trails committee that's an ongoing committee that's making recommendations on how to implement that plan. That's different than the work group that I served on.
It'll all be clear.
Well, not if we don't have them available.
Well, we will get them.
Mr.
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, mine is just an observation, I guess, to you and to the committee. I'm having some of the same feeling today as on the day that we were getting the auditor's report on some of the arts funding. And at the time, I said what I was struggling with is what should be our goal to do in the arts, to do many things or fewer things really well, because it does matter how you spend your money. And today I'm having some of that same feeling. Should we have many parks in order to have many parks, or should we have well-funded quality park experiences? And I mean, they're very different ways to spend money. So it's just a kind of a similar reaction I think I'm having to the presentation.
Yeah. Okay. It is going to be a problem. And we'll see if we can do as good a job as these guys did and come to a consensus decision on the committee. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you. Madam Chair, and to respond to that, I mean, I don't know for sure what Representative Murphy's goals were, but mine was to try to allocate park funding as fairly as possible throughout the state of Minnesota to achieve the goal of the most public participation in these parks and trails. And, of course, where we run into difficulties is, you know, what is fairly allocated? I mean, that's the question. Fair allocation to me might be different than to a Representative Wagenius or someone else. But that was the goal, to try to be fair in getting this money out and to reach the most people that we could.
Okay.
Madam Chair, okay. Again, I'm Greg Mack. I'm Director of Parks and Recreation for Ramsey County. Ramsey County is one of the 10 implementing agencies for the regional park system, and I, along with two other members, were appointed by Chair Susan Haig to serve on this working group. Remind you that the Metropolitan Regional Park System is a system of that involves 10 implementing agencies. We own and operate properties within the metropolitan area. 54 regional parks, 38 trails, over 54,000 acres of land. We serve over 44 million visitors. The frustrations that I heard from the committee are very similar to the frustrations, I think, of all of the working group members. I don't think anyone was entirely pleased that we couldn't gather comparable data to be able to say this equals that, so the formula works. When Representative Lilly asked about things like visitation and usership, you know, we have very rigid collection of data in the metropolitan region. The state parks does too. It was obvious that Greater Minnesota, as it's emerging in a system, didn't have the comparable data. I think the committee would tell you that throughout that process, I was continuing to provide spreadsheets with estimates of different pieces. I could fill in certain blanks that I knew from the state, from the metropolitan region, but I had to estimate other areas. We got to the point that in order to, in a six-meeting challenge, we were to come to you or to the governor to report with a consensus document. Certainly no one under the spirit of consensus was enamored with the results and the details that Representative Wagenius is asking for. It just isn't there, so we couldn't come up with a detailed response. I personally, and I'm just speaking for myself, I can live with this as an interim solution, recommended it forward. But I clearly do think there are areas that need to be addressed, and I would just articulate those. First, the issue of common definition, the 120, the 72 state parks, the 54 regional parks and trails and definitions. They need definition with respect to acreage and who's using them. Visitation, is it serving just a local community like some of our local municipal parks in the metropolitan area, or is it serving a broader region? That's a criteria that needs to be looked at. The size of those sites, the quality of the resource that they protect. Fundamentally, in our system, the metropolitan regional park system, it's about the natural resource base and the protection of that natural resource base. And so those kinds of criteria should be universal. They're evolving, and the plan that I've referenced, that's the legacy plan, does give guidance to that, but I do think it needs to be refined. Second thing is that related to our system, meaning the Metropolitan Regional Park System and the state system, there are system plans that define the whole of that system. There are master plans, and there's capital improvement plans that relate to the master plans. All of that is well laid out. Recognize that the Greater Minnesota system, as it's evolving, doesn't have that. We should have comparable kinds of planning documents so you can do that kind of analysis to move forward. The third item is that we need to assemble common data sets. That's basically, I think, a more important recommendation of this working group, is it define, at least to start, population, proposed population, acreage of those facilities, the visitation, how much is being spent to maintain and operate those. Those are all common factors that will drive future spending decisions. If you can lay that out and weight it as others see fit, how you weight population versus operations versus the visitation, you can come up with a formula that actually is much more sustainable, and it looks at that. So, yes, there's an interim recommendation here, and as I said earlier, I do support the consensus recommendation of that group to move this along. I do think that we do need to study this further. We need to have additional information that is common to all of the systems. So with that, I know you'll have a lot of discussion on this. I've been here before you several times over the last two bienniums discussing the past formulas and what the effects are, and we continue to work through a process. That's it.
Representative Lee, you may have been on one of the last one. Sorry, but
yes, Madam Chair. They were more related to the earlier discussion, but it's kind of ongoing discussion, and I think for me the focused, and we need to do focused investments. I had an opportunity to ride a bicycle from one day to Hinckley, up the Munger Trail all the way to Duluth, and I think I saw probably about 10 people. Then I got into Duluth, and I got on Representative Murphy's boardwalk there, and I saw hundreds and hundreds of people walking on the boardwalk. And so it's just examples like that, I think, are just real-life realities that we have to look at. I think of myself as a mountain biker, and I'm going to go to Lebanon Hills, and I don't know if that fits into, is that a?
It's a regional park.
It is a regional park, which is a real treasure. So I'm going to go two places. I'm going to go to that, if I'm not doing something local, or I'm going to go up to see Representative Ward and go on the Cayuga up there and ride the red. So those are, and bring my money with. But, so it's just, those sort of things, so focused investments are, I think, really what we need to look at as we're going forward. And I just keep going back to the usage also, or economic drivers, where we can help enhance a Cayuga Trail, or like we have down in Whalen, and you know, on the whatever that trail is called. What is it? Root River Trail. But anyways, it was more related to earlier discussion, but. Okay. Keep up the good work in Ramsey County.
Okay.
Thank you.
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm glad to hear Representative Lilly's going to come up and ride the Cuyuna Rec Trail. Cuyuna.
Why do you say it wrong?
Mr. Mack, you know, it's been really a good dialogue, and I appreciate everybody that's kind of testified out so far has kind of said that, you know, that while there was not 100% consensus. There seemed to be consensus throughout everybody that's testified so far, and that's what we asked you to do. And it looks like that's interesting to hear the rest of the testifiers. One thing that you said, though, Mr. Mack, is that you estimated the count, and it goes back to Representative Lilly's point, to Representative Erdl's point. You estimated counts, and I've heard a lot about usage and population, and you know. What I thought I heard you say was that, number one, like, who's counting, number one? But what I thought I heard you say was, and I'll give you a good example. So Representative Lilly kind of laid it out. He said, I saw this number here and this number here. When he comes up to Cuyuna, and then he does a Paul Bunyan up there, he's going to see literally hundreds and hundreds more up there. But who is counting? And what I thought I heard you say was, I knew my counts down here, but I had to do estimated counts from areas that I didn't hear. So it's concerning. It's concerning to me that maybe we're not, you know, that in greater Minnesota, the counts aren't valid and reliable as to who is counting and are they valid and reliable counts? Because I can sit. I'm on the Paul Bunyan Trail a lot, and I can tell you a daily usage pretty close on the Paul Bunyan Trail versus, you know, what is reported. So who's counting? Who's reporting? And are they valid and reliable counts?
Madam Chair, Representative Ward, I want to clarify what I said. We are doing systematic, reliable, valid counts that are in the metropolitan area that are based on a statistical process that's been thoroughly vetted. There, part of the 175 study I referred to was to try to take that kind of a system and apply that kind of a system to greater Minnesota. So there's been some testing of that, and I'm sure that Mr. Schoenbauer can discuss that. When I referred to me doing estimates, that was in trying to provide a spreadsheet that may have taken population, visitation, number of acres, number of trail miles, number of operating dollars spent. When I got to some of those blanks, in trying to do a spreadsheet that could compare the three systems and look at an allocation system, when I talked with my other members of the committee to tell me what do I put in for use on the Greater Minnesota Regional Park System, they could not tell me what it was. So I put in a number, just an estimate, my own estimate, not their estimate, just to kind of drive the formula to see what that might look like. That's a need to identify common sets of data. It's not available, and I believe that this plan that I referenced is going to provide a format to look forward on doing that, but today it's not available. In the metropolitan region, there is that information.
Madam Chair,
Representative Ward.
Thank you. And thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Mack. My concern is that, you know, if we are appropriating funding based on a number of things, and one of them being counts, one of the population, one of the users, you know, we need to have accurate counts then. Right. I mean, if my usage is, if what you say on the count of, you know, just some of the trails in my area or parks in my area, parks or trails in my area, and they are not anywhere near that, then, you know, my area could very well be slighted, correct?
That's correct. But Madam Chair, Representative Ward, we did not use that. We could not move forward with a formula that related to visitation, expenditures, acreage, because we were stopped with not having the available data. So what you have in front of you as a proposed framework does not rely on that data. So moving forward, we believe that data needs to be collected.
Thank you. I hope that is, does happen to the validity and reliability as well.
I obviously have to apologize to members, visitors, and something. I greatly misestimated the time that we need for this. I do. Were you? Is there any other questions, Mr. Mack?
Thank you.
I do want to bring one person up who's not on the agenda because he specifically directed a written response to this report when this report came out, and he's here today having taken time off from the University of Minnesota where we're paying him to do other stuff. And this is John Irvin, who's the president of the, I think they call him the president of the Minneapolis Park Board. So he did do a written response to this report, and I'd like to hear. We will eventually, before we finish, we will hear from, not today, but we will hear from everybody. But I would like to bring up John Irvin now because he specifically did take time off, as other people did, to come here. Mr. Irvin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members, and thank you for the time that you're giving me early in the agenda to express my opinion. I think in part because you probably know I have a dissenting opinion to this. I know the consensus is great. As a scientist, I'm sure you appreciate that the consensus was that the world was flat at one point. Just because there's consensus doesn't mean that it's in fact right. I come before you as the someone who moved to Minnesota in part because of the parks. I've had farms in Newmarket, Rush City, Mound, and I own land in outstate Minnesota, and I regularly go to Duluth.
John, I think we need a better identification of exactly
sure.
who you are.
My name is John Irwin. I'm president of the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and I'm a resident of Minneapolis. As I mentioned, I have land in outstate Minnesota as well and visit Duluth regularly as part of going up north. I'm a professor at the University of Minnesota, and I'm a citywide commissioner on the Park Board, and as you may know, the Park Board is elected in Minneapolis. I've been president of that board for 4 years. I'm before you because I disagree with the recommendations of the task force that are put forth. I disagree on those recommendations as a Metro resident because I don't think that they adequately reflect the needs of the Metro community. When I lived on a farm, I have to tell you, I had all the open air and green space and trees that I wanted. When you have a kid in North Minneapolis, they don't have the same access to that green space. There's differences in need. I object as a park commissioner and as a scientist because the recommendations I see before you don't really, they're not in fact based on data. I mean, there's report after report after report. I have these reports. This report in every instance says that more money should be going into the metro region, and I'll talk about estimates of population growth. And I also object because I don't think that the recommendations really honor the intent of the legacy committee or the legacy amendment to begin with. First, the proposed allocation unfairly takes money from the metro region. I'm just going to say that up front. In 2008, the legacy amendment was approved by Minnesota voters by 56%. The seven-county metro region approved it by 61.5%. The metro region makes up 54% of the state's population, and it generates 64% of the state's sales tax. Yet the proposed allocation of legacy funds to the metro parks is only 40%. To put it another way, the proposed legacy dollar spent per user in the metro area is 36 cents, whereas it is $6.67 per user in rural regional parks. Obviously a huge, huge discrepancy. The unfairness of the allocation is exacerbated by the fact that the metro parks receive almost none of Lessard Sam's money for habitat restoration, Just based on land area alone, the metro region should receive $17.5 million per year of Lessard Sam's funding. In fact, we received less than 8% of those funds last year. Taken together, the vast majority of legacy funds come from the metro region and are allocated elsewhere. The proposed allocation does not appear to be based on need with respect to projected growth or financial fairness. For instance, the proposal does not allocate funds to the very studies the legislature commissioned to guide the use of legacy funds. There are numerous studies, all with projected growth estimates. Between now and 2035, the population growth is projected to increase 6% in northwest Minnesota, 4% in northeast Minnesota, 13% in south Minnesota, 32% in central Minnesota, and 45% in the metro region. Fully 81% of the new population growth is projected to occur in the metro region. Yet the proposal has 60% of the funds being allocated elsewhere. This does not even account for the less than 8% of the Lasard Sam's money that I referred to before. As far as numbers, the metro parks have 44 million visits in 2011. On any given day, over 100,000 Minnesotans recreate in these parks. The annual operating budget is $90 million, $2.04 per visit. Can you divide that out? Despite the fact that the law calls for the state to provide 40% of operating costs, only about 10% of the cost is provided by the state. The balance is provided by the local property tax dollars of Minneapolis residents. We are subsidizing this, clearly. By comparison, the state park system has 9 million visitors a year with an annual operating budget of $56 million, or $6.22 per visit. Fully triple the cost of the metro parks, and none of that cost is borne by the local taxpayer bill. The proposed allocation does not support the desired impacts of the Legacy Amendment. For instance, all four strategic pillars in the Legacy Amendment identified by the DNR in 2009 revolve around getting citizens outside and exposing them to the natural environment. The metro regional system is the best health care plan the state can invest in. It helps to keep the majority of the population health, active, and outdoors. The number has been mentioned a half an hour or 30 miles from someone's house. Well, within that area, 93% of the residents who use the regional park system jog. We say they use the system. 91 rollerblade, 86% bike. Investing in the metro parks, and specifically the metro region, where 54% of the population resides, clearly has the greatest health benefit to the state of Minnesota. Lastly, investing in metro parks is a great bang for the buck. Our magnificent urban and suburban parks are often noted in business advertisements, real estate marketing, and as I mentioned, it's the reason I moved from outstate here. Part of that recruiting process was taking me to the Chain of Lakes. For instance, the $300 million that this body invested in Central Riverfront resulted in over $1.6 billion in new investment in downtown Minneapolis in the Central Riverfront area. $1.6 billion. That's just so far. We're not even done yet with that. That $1.6 billion resulted in significant new revenues to the state, generated significant more business, and is continuing to gain momentum and result in more growth moving up the Mississippi River. In closing, I ask that you reconsider the allocation recommendations before you. The recommendation does not come close to fairly distributing resources based on sales tax contribution, based on need, data, metrics, impacts, and I'm not sure that it actually meets the requirements that were put forth by the Legacy Amendment to begin with. With that, I'll just take any questions. Madam Chair, you mentioned the 12,000 number, the one park per 12,000 people. That's the same number I have, and the one park per 50,000 people for metro parks. So I agree with your numbers completely. Any questions?
Okay.
Or Madam Chair, I suppose.
Starting. Yes. Representative Erd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Irwin?
Yep.
Well, first of all, if you truly believe what you're saying,
I do.
You've almost convinced me to escape the obsolescence of rural Minnesota by moving here with you.
You spend enough of your time here, Representative Riddle. I don't think you need to spend any more time here.
But
I love Minneapolis. But
just a couple of questions that. What percent of our habitat in Minnesota is outside the seven-county metropolitan area?
I don't know the exact percentage, a significant amount of the habitat.
I think it's around 90%. You say that the... first of all, let me just back up a little bit and say that in reference to the previous testifier, that this is an interim. And, I mean, we can't agree on data. We can't agree on even how to count. And I think it's important over this interim period to reach at least some consensus on how to do these things. And as I have said about parks and trails, and I've said about administrative costs and all of these things, this is a work in progress. You know, hopefully, before too many years, we'll actually figure out exactly what we're doing. But we are still flexible. We still are making changes, and we need to continue to do that. The split right now, I recommended 40-40-20. That still is comparing the metro and the greater Minnesota park systems twice as much in the metropolitan area. What do you think would be a fair split of this percentage?
I think the, you know, the intention, Madam Chair, can I answer?
Yes.
I think the, and this is my just divining the intention of Minneapolis and Minnesota citizens, but I believe that people intended that we wanted to develop outstate Minnesota and wanted to increase the natural spaces in outstate Minnesota, and I don't think that there's any objection that our park board has ever had with 45% to 50% going just in the metro region and having more than 50% go to outstate. I think that was the intent, and I think we're comfortable with that. I think part of our concern is what we're seeing. Representative Will, I think, mentioned that slow decrease that we're seeing in the funding for the legacy funds.
The percentage, but the funding actually, I believe, has not.
The dollars may not, but clearly there's a dramatic increase in dollars going to outstate. And if I can come back to the previous point with respect to habitat, the Minneapolis River is a significant flyway that goes north. It's one of the most significant flyways that exist. We would love to reclaim the habitat along the Mississippi River and use Lessard Sam's money to participate in doing that. So,
so Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm. Representative Erdl.
So 40, 40, 20, what would you break it up at?
You know, if we went back to 45 or 47%, we'd be completely fine. And that's even with the case that the numbers suggest that 81%, the existing plans, the numbers suggest that 81% of the new growth is going to occur in the metro region. I agree with Mr. Mack that do we have good numbers across the different bodies? It appears as though we don't. The question is, for 6 years, do we really need 6 years to get the numbers? I agree with the chair. That when we do a study at the university, I mean, usually it's not 6 years to get these numbers. We can get survey numbers rather quickly. If we really think that we need these numbers, get them all the first year, do a great job of getting them, and then move ahead with the renewed proportion and allocation.
Madam Chair, I'll just add, it's taken us nearly 6 years to get to this point.
Representative Wood.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Owen, do you ever go? Do you ever go to Greater Minnesota?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Keep coming there, please.
yeah, every single time I stop in Duluth.
Madam Chair, you know, I had made a comment earlier that we had, you know, we were hearing from testifiers about, you know, the study. And I keep hearing this, and I don't even know who Jeff Schoenbauer is, but a lot of people refer to him. And I would like to hear from another member of the study group you know, as Mr. Irvin said, you know, the world, you know, if the world's, you said something about the world's flat, but consensus showed that, it, you know, research showed.
Not anymore.
So I'd like to hear the other side of the coin as well, Ms. Madam Chair, too.
Okay.
So.
Okay, we're coming.
If we can, we're 5 minutes.
Yes. No, let's put, I know I'm skipping over a bunch of people who are listed on this. Let's put Jeff Schoenbauer up now. Briefly, we'll first go to Representative Wiginius. You had a question for Mr. Irwin.
Just not so much a question, but I wonder if we're not framing this issue entirely wrong. We're talking about percentages. We aren't talking anything about what is it that we are looking for outcomes. And I think Representative Lilly alluded to it in a way that I could understand in talking about trail. What are we anticipating we want for trails in the next 6 years? You're using 6 years as a margin. What do we want? What do we want to accomplish there? Do we want to add more miles? Are we going to just say to Minnesota, no, we're going to the trails we haven't done yet, we're just going to take them off the books? what is it that we want? And one of the things that we may discuss that would be good for all of us is we don't have good trails in the metro to get out. So somebody on a bicycle can't get from my neighborhood, can get all around Minneapolis and St. Paul in the metro, cannot get out to your area, cannot get out to your area. And maybe that's the common ground we have to get people going out on the trails. I mean, that's what, yeah. I think that's where Representative Lilly was going, and he'll certainly correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, we are we're going to get back to this topic certainly in 2 weeks. My apologies to everyone who thought we could finish it up today. But let's at least hear very briefly for Jeff Schoenbauer, sure. Since your name was...
Can I respond to Representative Wiginius very quickly?
Okay.
I completely agree with her. Part of this issue is what are the impacts or what are the desires that this body wants to have with the legacy? What do you want to do with it? What's the intent of it? And I'm not sure that that's clear. And I think when that's clear, it'll help clarify things dramatically. So I appreciate you giving me the time, okay. Madam Chair, and the committee for bearing with my passionate feelings. And I do go out. Yeah. And I've lived most of my life in Minnesota outside of the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Okay, Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, Mr. Irvin, when you were speaking, you smiled a lot.
Yeah.
And I detect some of the words that were coming out of your mouth were kind of your tongue was in your cheek.
What? No, I smile. Anyone who knows me knows I smile a lot.
So you are a real believer that this money should be proportionally divided.
Absolutely. Proportionally divided based on impacts. Okay, what are we trying to do? And part of that's population growth. And it's hard for me to look at these numbers and look at the 81% potential population growth in the metro area and reconcile them. And I appreciate it's just 6 years, but during that time, there's an impact. It's millions of dollars.
Okay. And Madam Chair, you have no recommendation for how the proportion that you feel is allotted to metropolitan parks or Minneapolis parks. I wasn't sure of the difference in your mind. But if you're going on population, then it's the greater portion is still Minneapolis parks. Then what are you going to buy with your proportion?
You're asking us how we're going to spend the money, should the money be allocated?
In your dream world.
Trails. We're looking to completely recapture north and northeast Minneapolis. None of that area is accessible to those communities along the river. And it's a core part of a huge population area that
again,
is not.
And sorry to interrupt, but we do, since Jeff's name was mentioned multiple times, we feel we got to give him at least a few minutes to say something, understanding that you're going to get much more time at a later date for a greater presentation.
Sure.
So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jump right into it, I take it. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'll give you a little bit of the background to myself very quickly so you know where I'm coming from. My wife and I have a small private consulting firm that focuses on parks, trails, and open space planning and design. I've been in the business for about 35 years now. Just a quick cross-section of things that I've done. I've done dozens of local, regional park and trail system plan. I think I've done a dozen master plans for metro regional parks and trails. I was the primary author for the DNR's trail planning and design manual. I was the lead designer and oversight of the Cuyuna Mountain Bike Trail project. I'm currently doing the design for Lake Vermilion State Park Campground. And I was also, my wife and I were sitting on the committee for Future Strategies Committee with the DNR. And I've also had an opportunity over the years to participate on a national level for different standard writings and so forth. So that's what I bring to the table. And I'm going to approach this subject from a planner's perspective, and I'm not a politician, so you'll have to decide on how that works. I won't get in, given the essence of time here, I'm going to be fairly straightforward on my comments. And essentially, the plan that Greg Mack referred to, this is an outgrowth of the legacy plan. it's very complementary to that, and frankly what it does is try to refine that criteria to something that's implementable. The past studies, as have been talked about, the numbers float around, but there's suggestion that there's 130 regionally significant parks in Greater Minnesota and 33 regionally significant trails. I can tell you right now that all that really means is that they meet the baseline criteria. It is unlikely that many of those will ultimately be considered part of Greater Minnesota's regional park and trail system. I think the representative over here mentioned, are we focused on quality or quantity? Clearly, in Greater Minnesota, we're focused on the notion of quality trumps quantity, and whatever monies are available be spent in that way. So you can rest assured that the number is not going to be 130 or 28 or whatever. It's going to be considerably less than that. Now, as mentioned earlier, the 175 study defined three expectations that was legislatively mandated. It was to define protocol and criteria for vetting parks and trails. It was to establish process and undertake collecting use data and doing research. And it was to establish the process and undertake inventory work. All of those things are now in motion, and we'll be continuing to move forward on those over the course of this year and ongoing.
Could, if we put more money into that, could we accelerate it?
Yes.
Or is it?
Well, to a degree. It is a concern, yeah. And there will be some legislation from Greater Minnesota coming forward and further in your session to address that issue. But it is lacking right now.
Okay.
And it could be accelerated with good thinking. But we want to make sure that's done in a professional manner. Now, when we look at where Greater Minnesota is then right now as we speak, first of all, this idea of them becoming the formal third leg of the stool in complement DNR and Metro is really because, as this discussion before you today, Greater Minnesota is being held accountable for actions they couldn't control over time. And if their thinking is if we're going to be held accountable for that, we need the responsibility and opportunity to make choices for ourselves. And my work and my wife's work with these folks across Greater Minnesota, there's plenty of professional capacity to do that under the right structure. And that's what the strategic plan is intending to get at. Now, keep in mind what we have going on right now is we're vetting regionally significant parks, those 130, and we're going to be using an objective set of criteria. And I can assure you that criteria is very tight, purposefully. Greater Minnesota does not want to overextend the potential resources that are going to be available to them, whether that's 20% or whatever. And let's keep in mind that 20% amounts to $7 or $8 million a year. A basic regional park could range anywhere from $2 to $10 million just in one park. So you can understand what we're looking at here, and Greater Minnesota understands that very clearly. But we also recognize and fully appreciate working with the DNR and coordinating planning activities is central to this at a system planning level and at a priority planning level. And just a very quick example, on the North Shore, DNR metro state parks are well represented, and they really well do, in fact, serve that regional population. That is not true in other parts of the state. The Rochester area, the St. Cloud area, Bemidji area, all of those areas are lacking in that regionally focused thing, parks and trails. We're trying to get at the heart of that.
I know this is really unfair to you,
sure.
But could you just... But we are going beyond our time. Would you wrap it up with, in a minute or so with the promise that you're going to have as next time you'll have as much time as you want?
Sure. I guess I would just wrap it up by suggesting that Greater Minnesota is, in fact, moving forward with planning. And one of the key challenges that Greater Minnesota sees, and it is central to this discussion that was earlier, is the simple fact is, and this is my professional opinion, performance measurement tools, the capacity to count, are lacking, whether it's Greater Minnesota, whether that's Metro, whether that's DNR. And those things do need to be improved over the course of this next year. With that, in the essence of your time, I will turn it back to you and answer any questions that folks might have.
Any quick questions for Mr. Shum? Well, I think people will get you next time. And okay. We do have and we'll get back to this. Is not the end of this discussion. Oh, no. We'll get back to it. And I apologize for my misjudging the time and not continuing it tomorrow and so forth. But that's the way it goes. But anyway, there's a special. I want to do a a special invitation or announcement. I think you've had this. There's a special evening at the Science Museum of Minnesota with both Representative Erdahl and I think are on the program. And where you'll get it. This is Tuesday, February 12th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. I'm sure it conflicts with multiple other things that are going on, but you'll get a notice of that.
The chair won't let me go.
I know. Well, you'll get a notice of it.
Representative Kahn and I are going in our Lincoln outfits that night.
There will be a notice. I just want to call your attention to it now and watch for the more detailed notice of that event. Okay. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, respectfully, may I just ask that at your next meeting that we put our Greater Minnesota friends early in the program? We have two of them that drove a considerable distance today and were unable to testify.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that we had two points of view on. Certainly, it's my fault, and I take the blame for that. So
thank
I
you
apologize.
Very much, Madam Chair.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.